You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of the Lord. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. And we know that Matthew was a Jew who wrote to a Jewish audience. But the word is also for us today, people of God. And he wrote about the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all those of us who have put our trust in him, people of God, we are called to hear his word and obey. And those who have not yet put their trust in him, they now have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. People of God, the word is spirit and it is life. It is the word that has the ability to save. So we can come with our word. But when we come with the word of Jesus, it has life in it. And it brings forth salvation. It has the power to save. So we just thank God for his word to us, and we thank God that we are continuing in Matthew chapter 5. Last week we stopped at verse 19. We are going to just read that verse again, and we are going to continue on to verse 20. So let us pray and begin. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to be here, oh God, to hear your word again. Thank you for all the listeners, oh God. And we pray in the name of Jesus that as they listen, oh God Almighty, your word will bring conviction, oh God, and conversion to the souls of men. Holy Spirit of God, we know that no one can come to Jesus unless you draw them. So we pray for a mighty draft in the name of Jesus. Draw them to you by your mighty power. Oh God, we pray that they will come to know you, oh God, and trust you and serve you in spirit and in truth. Father God, we pray, oh God, for a revival in the body of Christ. We pray that you will draw your people back to your word. Oh God, we pray that we will walk in obedience to your word, mighty God, knowing that, oh God, your word is truth. Father, we thank you again for what you're doing in this season. Thank you for illuminating your word to us, Holy Spirit. And we thank you, oh God, that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We bless you, we honor and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray and we say amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. So we continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. And we see, people of God, as we stopped last week at verse 19, it says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So we want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We want to continue to teach and to preach God's word wherever we go. So we are going to go on to verse 20 of Matthew chapter 5. The word said, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, listen, people of God, again, what Jesus said here, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So people of God, we have to look and see, you know, what the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees were like. So we have to understand, people of God, that these religious leaders, they were self-righteous. They were self-righteous. It was all about doing works to please God. But when our righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who he is and what he has done at the cross for us, then God's righteousness is imputed on us. That is true righteousness, people of God. So Jesus is saying, unless our righteousness exceed that, it has to be above the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. They were doing works to appear righteous. But we have to come to understand that our righteousness is by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the righteous son. And our righteousness is something that is now imputed on us. As we put our faith in Jesus, people of God, Jesus' righteousness is now placed to our account. So we are now justified. We are now declared righteous by the righteous son. We have put our faith in him, so his righteousness is now placed to our account. So we are clothed in his righteousness. But the scribes and the Pharisees and all those religious leaders, they were doing works, thinking that their good works could please God. But the word of God tells us, no man could live the law righteously. No man could live and do all the works of the law correctly. None. They all failed. No matter how great they think they were doing, they all failed. But one, the perfect God man, he came to earth, people of God, and he lived that righteous life, that sinless life. He is the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, the righteous Son, the righteous one. And when we place our faith in him, people of God, this is true righteousness. So our righteousness has to come through the truth that we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ and not doing good works to please him. We are called, people of God, to put our faith in Jesus, and good works will follow. We will want to do good works, but our good works cannot save us. So we have to come to understand that God is calling us up high. He's calling us to a height in Christ where we come to know that it's about putting our faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous Son, that will make us righteous. So Jesus said, your righteousness have to exceed that of the scribe and Pharisee. So our righteousness has to be placed in Jesus Christ, the righteous Son. So we want to come to that place of putting our faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Look at verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. So we see here that Jesus was saying that you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murder will be in danger of the judgment. But look at what Jesus says to us. Look at his saying to us. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever says to his brother Raka shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. What was Jesus saying here? People of God, Jesus was saying that to have anger towards your brother without a cause is a murderous attitude. Jesus was saying that to have anger towards your brother without a cause is a murderous attitude, and that person will be in danger of judgment, just like the person who committed a physical murder. Whosoever shall call his brother names like Raka, which means empty, worthless, ignorant, shall be brought before the council. And the word said, and those who call their brother a fool shall be in danger of hellfire. People of God, Jesus weighs the matters of the heart. Man can only see the external, but Jesus looks at the heart. And the word tells us in 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So people of God, we have to come to understand that we can be hating someone and yet smiling with them. But God is calling us to have the right heart. Jesus weighs the matters of the heart. And man can only see the external. But Jesus looks at the heart. And he looks at us smiling at times with some individuals. But inwardly, we hate them. People of God, Jesus' words tells us in 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. People of God, we must be sure that eternal life is abiding in us. We must be sure that we are truly loving our brother, loving one another as Christ has called us to love. We want to be people who truly love one another. We don't want to be people who are faking it. We want to be people who are true. Our hearts must be right. Jesus comes and he is telling us that clean up. By the Holy Spirit's help, we can clean up and allow our hearts to be right before God. We can't clean ourselves. As the psalmist cry out, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. So God is able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to cleanse us and to make us presentable in his sight. We want to be people who go forth in the power of Jesus Christ. We don't want to be those that are lagging behind because we have no power. We have no strength. But look on the word of God. It tells us in verse 23. Look on verse 23 of Matthew 5. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, we continue on to 24. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. People of God, this is serious. Jesus is saying that when we come to offer our gift to the Lord and have unforgiveness in our hearts, the gift should be left at the altar and you go and reconcile to your brother, then come back and offer your gift. The Lord will only honor the gift that are coming from a pure heart. People of God, Jesus comes to show us the state of our heart and to help us to fix it. So we have to come to know and understand when unforgiveness is in our heart, God is calling us to go and make it right. Go and make it right, people of God. We have to know and understand that God is calling us to change. Change our hearts, change our mindsets, and live the life that truly counts. God is calling us, people of God. Are we willing to listen to his voice? Are we willing to do what Jesus says? Are we willing to walk in the ways of the Lord? Look at verse 25. It said, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. What was Jesus saying here? Jesus was speaking on the importance of reconciling quickly to the one who is opposing you or to the one who has wronged you. The longer you put it off, the longer you will stay in that spiritual prison. People of God, the enemy has set forth that spiritual prison for God's people. That spiritual prison of unforgiveness. That spiritual prison, people of God, of walking with an offended heart. So Jesus was speaking on the importance of reconciling quickly. Don't put it off. Reconcile quickly to the one who is opposing you. The longer you put it off, the longer you will stay in that spiritual prison. Unforgiveness, children of God, is a spiritual prison that the enemy has to keep God's people in bondage. Let us listen to the voice of Jesus and make it up quickly while we have time. Make it up quickly, children of God, while we have time. Look at verse 26. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. That's a New King James Version. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there. You will not get out of that spiritual prison until you have paid the last penny. Jesus was saying you will be kept in that spiritual stronghold until you are fully forgiven those that trespass against you. You will be kept in that prison, people of God, in that bondage. The Lord God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. So people of God, if we put ourselves in that spiritual prison, let us run and make it right with those that we need to make it right with and come out of that spiritual prison and serve God in spirit and in truth. The Lord is calling us children of God, and we have to take heed to his voice, hear his voice, and follow him. Let us go on to verse 27 of Matthew 5. The word said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. And when you look, people of God, in the commandments that God has given to Moses in Exodus 20:14, it tells us that we should not commit adultery. But look at verse 28. Look at verse 28 of Matthew 5. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So Jesus was saying, what was Jesus saying here? Jesus was saying that it is not only the physical act of adultery that is wrong, children of God, but by just lusting after another who is not your spouse, you have committed the act of adultery in your heart. People of God, Jesus came to deal with matters of the heart. So Jesus was saying, just by just looking at that woman, are you woman looking at that man, you have already, with a lustful desire, you have already committed adultery in your heart. So the word of God, people of God, is telling us that Jesus came to deal with matters of the heart. When we turn, people of God, to Mark 7:14-23, let us reference this scripture. Mark 7:14-23. The word said, when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things that which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had entered the house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Verse 23 said, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So Jesus came, people of God, to deal with the matters of the heart. Is your heart right? We have to ask ourselves today, is our heart right? And if our heart is not right, we have to cry out to Jesus and say, Jesus, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Uphold me with your spirit of sonship. Remind me that I'm a son. Remind me that I'm a daughter. And then will I teach transgressors your ways. And sinners will come to repentance. People of God, we need to go out there with the word of God with a pure heart. With the right motives, right intentions. People of God, we have to understand that Jesus sees the heart. And he came to deal with matters of the heart. And when we start to really study his word, see what he says, how we should live this Christian life, then people of God, if we decide to obey his word and to do what he says, we are going to go out with power. We are going to be so empowered by the word of God because we are living the word. We are not just speaking it or teaching it or preaching it, but we are living it. And when we are truly living it, people of God, we are going to see the power of God demonstrated mightily in our lives. Jesus came to deal with matters of the heart. Out of the heart proceed all these evil thoughts and these evil things. And people of God, we have to come to understand that Jesus is here to help us to fix up the hearts, to fix what needs to be fixed, because only he can do it. It is God who works in us, both to will and to do his good pleasure. It is God who works in us. The Holy Spirit is here working in us. But are we yielded to him? Have we given him that opportunity to work on us? Are we allowing him to work on us, to change us into the image of Jesus? Look at verse 29, people of God. Verse 29 of Matthew 5. If your right eye causes you to sin, he said, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. People of God, the eye there represents someone who is giving guidance to you. If your right eye, someone who is giving guidance to you. So Jesus was saying that whoever or whatever in your life that will cause you to stumble, that will hold you back from reaching the ultimate goal of making heaven your home, get rid of it. Every man will have to stand before God and give an account of what is done in this body, whether it is good or bad. People of God, some relationship we have to get out of it. It's hindering our growth. It's hindering our walk. We don't want to be people who, when we stand before God, we hear, depart from me. I never knew you. But we have been doing all these great works, Jesus. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. You work of iniquity. People of God, we cannot allow anyone to prevent us from reaching our goal of going to heaven, of being with Jesus and receiving all that he has for us. Every man will have to stand before God and give an account of what he has done in this body, whether it is good or bad. People of God, we are called to be who Christ called us to be, and let us not let anyone or anything hinder us. Look at verse 30. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Jesus was saying, people of God, if the help from someone close to you is causing you to stumble, sever that relationship. Break it off to ensure that you have right relationship with God, and that you will not be cast into hell. People of God, these words are the sayings of Jesus, and he is teaching us and preparing us to live this life right here on earth, to live a life which is not compromising, people of God, where we have to stand up and stand up for the truth, that others, when they see us, they will say, that person, no, he will not do that, or he will not do this. They will know and be able to trust you, that you are a person of your word, that you will do what you say, and that you will not compromise. So we are called, people of God, to be who Christ called us to be, and to walk in truth and honesty. Look at verse 31, people of God, of Matthew 5. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. That was what the law of Moses said. Look at verse 32. But I say unto you, look at what Jesus said. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality, causing her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. That's the word of Jesus, people of God. Whoever divorces that woman whoever marries that woman that is divorced commits adultery. So Jesus gave only one just cause for divorce, and that is the act of fornication or sexual immorality, and faithfulness to the marriage vow. If there is divorce for any other cause, then that person, people of God, if there is divorce for any other cause, then if that person remarries, he or she has committed adultery. If that person remarries, he or she has committed adultery. And when we look at Matthew 19, 7 through 9, Matthew 19, 7 through 9 said, then they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. That's the word of Jesus. So people of God, we have it clear here in Scripture concerning marriage and divorce. God bless you. We'll stop here this evening, and we'll continue next week in Matthew chapter 5. We'll continue from verse 32 of Matthew chapter 5. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you again for your word to us, and we just thank you for what you're doing in our lives during this season. And we pray that your word will continually transform us, that we will become more and more like Jesus. Father, we give you honor and glory and praise as we look to you by faith and give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and we say amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and continue to look to the Lord from whence cometh your help. Blessings to you all. Amen and amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word, Thy Word is a Lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy Word is a Lamp.
Get ready for a mouth-watering journey as Nana Morrison's Soul Food expands to Port St. Lucie. Voted North Carolina's best soul food restaurant, Nana Morrison's has been dishing out homemade cuisine for over a decade. Their new location is now open.